The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With Nissan Subscribe and Drive. No deposit, no compromise, no fuss. Find out more at nissan.ie.
Damon mentioned the story in the news headlines, I'm sure, about the major changes to how traffic are going to use the M50 motorway. It's going to become Ireland's first managed motorway with controllers based in Dublin's Docklands. They'll be able to set variable speed limits, close lanes, divert traffic, etc. Well, Brian Caulfield is Associate Professor at the School of Engineering at Trinity College Dublin, and he joins me now. Brian, how will all of this work?
So how it'll basically work is we're essentially giving the M50 a memory. So we're putting all of these sensors along the M50 and it will remember how traffic uses it. It'll remember how traffic uses it, say in fog or if there's an accident or if anything happens on the M50 or there's heavy congestion. So using all of this historical data, it will know how to manage the flow on the M50. And flow and keeping that steady is key in traffic engineering to making sure that everybody has the same types of travel time. So what it'll find out then is, say if there's an accident at the airport today, and it'll see what would happen in terms of the traffic and how the downflow traffic operates. And then next week, it will have learned from that. So if the same thing happens again, it will be able to regulate traffic. It'll be able to slow down the traffic that, say, gets on at Sandyford to allow the authorities to remove the accident further along down the line. So overall, it's a really good thing.
So is it only when something untoward happens that changes kick in, or is the driving experience every day going to be different?
When it's going to kick in is if something happens. So the M50 is quite efficient at moving a lot of people around Dublin every day. It'll only happen if something like there is an accident, or if there's an adverse weather conditions, or if there's heavy traffic flow. But most people won't notice any difference. If you're using the M50 outside of the peak times, or if there isn't an accident, you won't notice any difference. But if something like that happens while you're on the M50, you'll be very glad it's there.
Is this something that's done in other countries, Brian?
It's done all over the world. If you look at the New Jersey Turnpike just outside of New York, they've had something like this since the 60s. And it's operated there very efficiently since it's been introduced. It's used in the UK. It's used all over Europe. So it's a progressive thing. And, you know, it was first mentioned back in, I think, 2013. So it's surprising it's taken this long to come to fruition. But it's in terms of safety, reliability, etc., it's a great thing for the M50.
All right. Well, Brian, don't go anywhere, because Enda Brady, the Sky News correspondent, is on the line as well. Enda, we heard from Brian there. This is used in the UK. How well is it used?
Well, it's been used for two decades here now. This was first brought in at the turn of the century, and the feeling was that, you know, they wanted to get the UK motorways working more efficiently, better journey and driving experience for UK motorists, and less emissions as well. And the feeling was that, you know, they didn't want to spend any money, and obviously the environmental concerns as well, of widening the motorway carriages. So they just looked at it and they thought, okay, we've got all this technology, and as the guy was saying, you know, the memory and what have you. But the problem is, you know, it's something that's deeply unpopular with motorists here. We've had criticism from police and politicians as well. They just feel that the hard shoulder is a big issue. So they put traffic into the hard shoulder if there's an incident further on up, and it just causes problems. There have been near misses. There have been some fatalities here as well. And generally, if you speak to UK motorists, and there was a survey last week from the RAC, the majority of people want this smart technology scrapped. I think, you know, a lot of people perhaps don't drive on the M25 or the M6, the big motorways, the M1, often enough. And then when they're going along and suddenly they're giving all this information is coming at you on the screens overhead, a lot of people, I think, just can't compute, and it just doesn't work very well. But it's here to stay. And, you know, every now and then we get bizarre situations on the motorways here. Three times this week we've had climate change protesters glue themselves to the exit roads on the M25.
They glued themselves to the road.
Yeah, three times this week I saw it. I mean, it was utterly bizarre, and I defy anyone with smart technology to improve the motorway experience for the M25 when you've got 78, what day was I there? Wednesday, at South Mim service station, I watched 18 people get arrested for gluing themselves to the exit roads of the M25. So, you know, you can have all the controllers you want watching traffic, but when you've got a situation like that, the police are running around, they don't really know how to handle it. The end result is the motorway. You know, anything, I think we're so congested over here. There's so much traffic on the M25 at the best of times. You've got the bulk of Britain's population concentrated in London and the southeast of England, all dotted around the M25. Everyone in a rush to get somewhere, you know, with the best will in the world, telling someone to go, you know, 1 minute it's 70, then it's 50, and then it's 70 again. And you get the incidents that pop up, and people are quite, I would say, loath to go into the hard shoulder at times. You know, there's probably not enough driver education here in the last couple of decades about it.
And how is it policed? I mean, is it kind of par for the course that there would be police officers then with speed guns when the limit jumps down from 70 to 50 or back up again? Or how does that work?
So here's the thing. Obviously, it is a legal requirement that you drive at the speed limit, but they will change it. So everyone knows, and this is, again, I go back to the issue of driver education. You know, everyone knows that it's 70 miles per hour on a British motorway. And then suddenly it will flash up 50. And people, it's human nature. People are so used to going at 70 and they feel that they should still be going at 70. And they don't realize that you're being told to get down to 50 because there's been a crash a mile up the road and they're trying to control the traffic and manage the situation. So, I mean, the technology and the ideology behind it is all very admirable, but stuff happens and driver error. And I think we've had some near misses. We've had some fatalities. The hard shoulder here using it is a big, big talking point. And certainly the motoring organizations don't like it. Politicians don't like it. And certainly the police federation, they don't like it. And as a driver experience, I mean, the M25, just avoid it at the best of times, because what I saw on Wednesday was just sheer chaos. And I felt really sorry for anyone trying to police that situation on Wednesday.
And before I let you go, Wenda, I mean, you've listed off everybody there who doesn't like it. What about policymakers? Is there any indication that the UK would scrap these variable limits?
No, it's here to stay. Okay. No, it's policymakers, as far as the government are concerned, the alternative is spending billions, which they don't have. Obviously, if you've seen the UK finances lately, you know, it's not good post-COVID. So the alternative is widening the motorways and putting in more lanes. And for a whole host of reasons, financial and environmental, they're not going to do that. So the smart technology is here to stay. They just need some sort of an advertising campaign on the radio or TV to just educate drivers better.
Well, we've got a text in from Paul who says, I'm on the M50 at the moment. I'm at the airport heading south and it's already a car park. Paul, I'm sorry to hear it. Brian Caulfield is still with us of Trinity College Dublin. Brian, one of the misgivings I've heard expressed today from people is that unlike these longer roads in other countries that have been mentioned, like the Autobahn in Germany, for example, the M50 has an awful lot of entrances and exits on it, and that makes it complicated, that people are chopping and changing lanes a lot more than you might get on other roads in other jurisdictions. Is there anything to that criticism?
There is a little bit to that criticism, and yes, people get on and off at different exits and entrances, and that can slow down traffic, but the whole point of it is that it will start to regulate this traffic as people move along the road. And the other thing that it will bring in is this thing called ramp metering, where we start to, you know, control how traffic joins the M50 using technology on the lanes as they come into it. And that will then encourage this steady flow. And, you know, a steady flow at 50 kilometres an hour or 100 kilometres an hour, whatever it is.
So can you explain that? What's ramp metering and how does it control the flow of traffic onto the road?
So basically what it will do is if it knows that the M50 is starting to become congested, what it'll do is it will stop and slow down traffic coming onto the M50, say from the Red Cow or from one of the other entrances onto the M50. So it will then result in a regulated flow. So not to the point that it would back it up along another along another road, but it would regulate.
How would it practically slow it down? Just with the imposition of a slower speed limit on that road and the lead up to it, or...?
And in some cases with traffic lights, it could be amber lights that would be flashing to slow down that it's going to be regulated flow onto the M50.
All right. Okay. So that's how it might work. I mean, would you have any concerns yourself when you listen to Enda describe the experience in parts of the UK, particularly M25?
Well, you know, Enda mentioned an example like that's very few and far between people gluing themselves to the road, like, you know, traffic.
Yeah, that's extreme
for that kind of thing. Not really. He mentioned about education, and that's what the department have said they're going to do, that they're going to put out an extensive education and an awareness of this coming in. And it's not due to be legal up until around Christmas time. So we'll be able to get the information to see how it's working and to see if it's something that should stay on the M50. The other thing Enda mentioned about widening the motorway, it costs nearly $1 billion to widen the M50. And, you know, if you had $1 billion to spend on transport, that's not where you'd spend it. This is, I think, very good value for money and should basically mean that everybody that's traveling along the M50 will have a kind of a reliable travel time.
Yeah.
So you can get on sometimes it could take, you know, 40 minutes, sometimes it could take 15. So it'll make it more reliable and easier to use.
Well, Stephen has gotten in touch on 53106 to say, I drove on the M25 in London for the first time 2 weeks ago and variable speed limit signs were in no way confusing. Anyone who passes the driving test surely will be able to comprehend a speed sign. Stephen, thanks for the text. 53106 is the number. Brian Caulfield, Associate Professor at the School of Engineering at Trinity College Dublin, and Sky News correspondent Enda Brady. Thank you both very much as well for joining me here on the show. Speaking of driving, lots of suggestions of good driving songs coming in, like Louise in Sutton, who says the best driving music has to be Bat Out of Hell. Maria in Galway, she says Rubber Bullets by 10cc is a great song when you're behind the wheel. And somebody else, Snap the Power caused me a few speeding fines in the 1990s. So says Kevin Fitzgerald in Carlow. Kevin, keep it up. 53106 is the number set.